Today is taken out of the book of Numbers, chapter 20 and 21. In these particular chapters, we find Israel in the wilderness of Sin. They abode at Kadesh, and there we find that Miriam, the sister of Moses and Aaron, died. This chapter begins with the death of Miriam and also ends with the death of Aaron. This wilderness of Sin was a place which was very parched and very dry. And these people, they were in this wilderness because of their sins, because of their unbelief. And now we have them in this particular place, Kadesh, which is very prominent for three different things. First, Miriam died here and was buried there. And in the second place, Moses smote the rock here. And likewise, Moses had sent out spies into the land of Canaan to see what the land looked like. And now this, that Miriam passed away. She was then a sister to Aaron and Moses. She was at the age of about 130 years. She was 12 years older than Moses. And we see in this that she lived much longer than a number of other people had lived. In the course of her lifetime, she had seen many of the Israelites die in the wilderness. They had been punished because of their sins of unbelief. But likewise, she had been punished at one time for rising up against Moses when he married the Ethiopian woman. She had been banished from the congregation for 7 days with the particular disease of leprosy. And then she was brought back again in and through the prayers of Moses. But now Miriam, she dies. She passes away. We see in this that brothers and sisters must leave each other in this world, that one sometimes is taken before another. In this particular case, we have here three beloved children of God, Miriam, Moses, and Aaron, all dying within 1 year. According to the commentary, she died 4 months before Aaron died and 11 months before Moses died. In 1 year then, we find in this family three deaths. How often this takes place in the course of lifetime amongst us even. Sometimes one member of the family dies, and within a short space of time, we find someone else being taken away. For Miriam, it was a great blessing to die. She was absent from the body and present with the Lord. Blessed are the dead that die in the Lord. What a blessing. If we have that portion of grace that Miriam had in this life. Oh, what a blessing to be delivered from a body of sin. No more would she be plagued with the sin of leprosy, which we all have in us. She is in that place where sin will never be. Have you any hope? Have you any expectation when this great enemy, death, shall take you away from this earth? It's a great enemy. It takes young and old, my hearers, and you know not how soon it may take you. You may have had already in your family a bereavement. Somebody you love, somebody near and dear to you, has been taken away, and you miss them, you mourn for them. But your time is coming too, every one of us. And how shall it go with us? Shall we also, as Miriam, enter into the joy of our Lord? Or what shall our end be? Oh, how blessed it is if we have found in this life grace in the sight of God. And we have, in and through grace, been given to die in this life, to world, to sin, to ourselves, And we have been given to flee to Jesus Christ and find in him our all and in all. Oh, would I but admonish you and warn you in the presence of God that you may seek an interest in this precious Jesus, so that when this great enemy comes to take you and I away, we may be found as Miriam, enjoying the presence of the Lord forever and ever. And after this, we find that these people, the Israelites, in this wilderness, they had no water. Once before, they had been in this predicament, and Moses had smitten the rock, and the water had gushed out at Rephidim. And according to the Bible, this water had followed them through the desert. But now we find them again without water. It is possible that they had been traveling through countries where there was no desert and water was plentiful and the miracle was not needed. But now they are again in the desert and they are without water. And they arise up against Moses and Aaron, and they chode with them and said, "We have no water to drink." Or they said, "We wish that we had died with our brethren. We wished that thou had not taken us out of the land of Egypt and brought us into this evil place where there is no water to drink and where there's no vines and there's no pomegranates and there's no place for seed or anything." Here we have then these people again, very rebellious, standing up against God in the first place, and Moses and Aaron who were placed over them. Now, these people, they were very discouraged. Now, they said they had wished that they had died before the Lord with their brethren. True, many of them, as we spake last week, were cut off in a moment. Now, these people, they were afraid that they were going to die of thirst. Being cut down at once is far different than dying of thirst. And these people here in the wilderness, they were very discontented and very discouraged. And therefore, they chode with Moses and Aaron. Does this happen also in the course of the lifetime of God's children? Oh yes, my hearers. There has been a time probably with some of God's children amongst us that they have enjoyed the presence of God, especially in the beginning when he begins that good work of grace in your soul. Oh, that's such a blessed time. I often like to refer to that time, for I had a time like that myself, and I can never forget that. And I'm sure many of God's children experience something like that, a time of first love. And then after this time has gone by, we experience that we are led into the desert as the Israelites were. And then in this desert, we are taught what we are. We see our exact image in these people, the Israelites. They murmured, they complained, and they rebelled. I wonder how many such murmurs and complainers and people that are of a rebellious spirit I have amongst me. You don't fall under the charge? I do. Oh, I find I have such a nature that's always complaining and always being rebellious against God and against the way that he leads me. If you have not this, be thankful that you are not, and that you're contented. But these people are an example of the Church of Christ. And we find them in the first place. What do they want? They wish they had died before the Lord. Is that the case with some of God's people? Does that happen? That they wish that they had died? How many here amongst my hearers have been in trouble at times? Trouble has come upon you. Oh, you've been brought down by the providence of God, maybe. And Even if you are a child of God, you likewise have been brought into a barren state of soul. And you have nothing anymore under the means of grace, where before you had such blessed times, and God opened your heart and visited you. Now you come under the same means, and there's nothing there. Nothing touches you, nothing strikes you, nothing draws you nearer to God, and all you are in a state that you think for yourself, I'm lost. There's no hope anymore for me anyway. Oh, I wish that I was dead. You ever say that? Maybe you never did. But oh, when troubles providentially and troubles spiritually come upon us, we're not any different than these Israelites. It's an awful thing to wish that we were dead, isn't it? A lot of people wish that sometimes. They don't know what they're talking about when they say something like that. To wish yourself dead without Christ, without God, and without hope in this world is awful. Some people think when they die, then their troubles are all over. That's when trouble starts for most individuals. That's when meeting God and coming before Him and answering for how we have lived in this world also comes to us. And then we shall be cast away from God into that place where there'll be nothing but trouble, nothing but anguish of spirit, nothing but gnashing of teeth and wailing. Oh, these people, the children of God, often say, why, I'm lost anyway, what's the use? I've had it in my own experience already that I said something like that. What's the use of living? What's the use of going on like this? Would be better maybe if I died. Then I would know the issue. Then I would know what would become of me. I don't know what's going to happen to me now. I'm in such a doubtful and in such an unbelieving state. I fear that it's all wrong, and I fear it's wrong for eternity. I fear I've deceived myself. In such states, the children of God likewise say, I wish that I had died, like this one or like that one. You read sometimes some are just cut off. No trouble to anybody else. They didn't have any worry about them. They were just cut down in a moment. Some people wish that they would die that way, that they wouldn't be a burden to somebody else. And now these people not only wish that they had died, but they said, why have ye brought us up out of the land of Egypt? There isn't anything in this wilderness. It's nothing else but an evil place. You ever say that, child of God? You ever say to yourself, I wonder why God ever let me out of the world? I wonder why He ever laid conviction of sin on my soul? I wonder why He brought me away from everybody else to Himself. And now I'm in a wilderness. Oh, sometimes you wish you never had been brought out of that Egypt of this world. You look at other people, you see how good they live. They have everything that their heart wishes. Oh, they enjoy the things of life. And you, why, you're just a miserable sinner. You have nothing, you think. Oh, what's going to become of you yet at the end of your life even? You're being denied almost every pleasure that your flesh would like. And then at the end, maybe it'll be you'd be cast away anyway. Such thoughts rise up in the hearts of God's dear children. And then they say sometimes, oh, I wish I never had been brought out of Egypt. I wish I was still in the world, serving sin. Some of my hearers may say, what sort of language is this? My hearers, it's in the Bible. It's the teachings of God according to His Word. And this is the way God's people sometimes learn to know themselves. Oh, what a wonder it'll be if any child of God is brought into that heavenly Canaan above. Oh, it'll not be for anything in them. They're clearly taught this in the wilderness here below. And now these people are arguing with Moses. They didn't have any water to drink. And they didn't like it at all that they were in this wilderness. How many wilderness journeyers have I amongst my hearers? You like it in the wilderness? I'm sure I don't. Oh, I sure do love to drink of the living water of life. I sure do like to enjoy the communion and fellowship with God. But to feel all dried up, to have nothing, And then Sunday after Sunday and week after week, that isn't a very pleasant position to be in. And just think, these Israelites were in this position 40 years. And how long some of you already have been in this wilderness. And now we find, to the amazement of you and I, that Moses and Aaron, when they showed with them, they fell on their faces before the tabernacle. They immediately went into prayer, and the glory of God appeared. Did it appear to destroy these murmurers, these complainers? No. Oh, the Lord, He is a God merciful and gracious and long-suffering. There is no God like Him. He came to help these people. He knew they had no water to drink. And now He appears unto Moses and Aaron and speaks unto them and tells Moses that he should take the rod from before the tabernacle and that he should go to the rock and that he should speak to the rock and he would cause water to flow out of the rock. Oh, how quickly did God answer Moses and Aaron when they fell on their faces to pray to God. You know, I like to look at the contrast sometimes. How often have you fell on your face? How often have you sent up a prayer to God for a blessing that you know you need? Maybe you've been praying for year after year for a certain blessing, and it hasn't come. And you see Moses and Aaron, they fall on their faces, and immediately they're heard, immediately they're answered. What do you think about your prayers? Maybe you think like I do. Maybe they'll never be answered. Maybe you'll never have that what you're looking for, that you're seeking after. That blessing that you need, shall it be well with you for eternity? Oh, when you see how quickly that God answers here, you say, oh, I wonder if I'll ever get an answer to my prayers. Oh, my hearers, God is a God of long suffering. And He most certainly will answer those that call upon Him. There is mercy in store for those that seek Him. He never forsaketh those that seek Him. The humble soul most certainly shall receive what it expects. Oh, may you take courage, you who are seeking God and haven't found yet what your soul desires. There is a time coming when He will mercifully appear for your help and deliver you and give you the desires of your heart. David said, Thou hast not withheld the desires of my heart, and He shall not withhold your desires. For where He has planted this desire, He most certainly will grant it in His own time. And now, Moses, he calls the congregation together, and he leads them to the rock. And now Moses, he was called the meekest man in the world. And now we find Moses in an altogether different spirit here. He's not so meek now. These people that are so rebellious and so discontented, they got under his skin, I would say. And now what does he do? Does he do as God commanded him? God said that he should speak to the rock, and water would flow out. But no, we see Moses taking the rod, and he's standing in the front of the people, and he says, Hear now, ye rebels! Must we bring water out of this rock for you? Harsh. Oh, this was an unbelieving statement. Did Moses think that he could bring water out of the rock? Had he the power to do so? And still we find Moses taking the rod, and he smites it twice. Twice he smites the rock. And did God bring water out of it? Yes. He didn't do what God told him to do, but God in His mercy opened the rock, and water gushed out. And the congregation drank, and their beast also. But God was displeased with Moses and with Aaron because they had not obeyed Him. Although they were His servants, He was angry with them. And he spake unto them and said, Because ye have not obeyed me, and spake to the rock, but smote it, ye shall not lead this congregation into the land of Canaan. This then was their punishment, that they would not bring the children of Israel over the border into the land of Canaan. And now we find Israel ready to leave this place called Kadesh, and they're on their way to Canaan. Now this chapter is in the 40th year that Israel has been in the wilderness. In those 40 years, we find very little recorded of what happened to Israel. But this is the 40th year. And now they're going to go up towards the land of Canaan. And they wish to go through the land of Edom. And they send messengers, Moses, unto the king of Edom and requests that Israel pass through their land. That they would only go by the highway, and that they would not do anything inconsistent in their land, and that if they needed water, they would pay for it, and whatever they would use, they would naturally see to it that they were recompensed. But Edom says, No, ye shall not pass through my land. And Edom came out with many people against Israel, and Israel turned back. Israel could not pass through the land of Edom. But she passed on the left side, on the side called the Dead Sea and the Red Sea. Edom, they were descendants of Esau. Edom means red. Esau, when he came out, he was red and hairy all over. And these descendants of Esau, they dwelt in this particular country called Edom. This was a very mountainous country, and the inhabitants dwelt mostly on the top of the mountains. It is called by the Greeks Idumea. Sometimes you read that word in Scripture and you wonder what that means. That means the land of Edom. And now these people, they were well fortified living up on the top of this mountain. Often you read in Scripture, Who shall climb up unto them? And now we find that they resisted Israel from passing through their land. Now, this was all in the providence of God, because we find when they circled the country of Edom, then God spake unto Aaron and unto Moses and said, Aaron, his time is there that he must die. Take him up on Mount Hor with his son Eleazar, and strip Aaron of his priestly robes and put them upon Eleazar his son, for Aaron shall not enter into the land of Canaan, for he obeyed not my voice to sanctify me in the front of Israel. And now we find Moses taking Aaron and his son Eleazar, and they go up on the Mount Hor. Now this then was the place where Aaron was to die. Aaron, he was 123 years of age. And now his end was coming. And these two brothers, they now were to be separated, Moses and Aaron. In all probabilities, Moses said to himself, I'm more guiltier than Aaron, for I smote the rock, and I spake that way, and I should die first. And maybe he thought, I soon will die. I will follow him very soon, which he did. And we find Aaron going up, and he was taken and stripped of his priestly garments, and he died on the top of Mount Hor. He was gathered to his people. He did not die like a criminal. He was not cut down, as we would say, by the hand of God's justice, but he was gathered to his people, as if he was gathered in the arms of grace, and so he died. Oh, what a blessing this was, my hearers, for Aaron. He surely was glad that God had also taken one of his sons and placed him in his position. Moses likewise was happy to see that the priesthood carried on in this particular family and in this tribe, the Levitical tribe. And now we find that Aaron passed away, and Moses and Eleazar buried him on the top of Mount Hor. According to the commentary, you can go there yet to this day, and they have a tomb there. It's a white tomb, and they claim that is where Aaron was buried. Whether this is true or not, I'll leave it to you. But anyway, Aaron passed away. He had led an eventful life. He had committed one great sin when he made that golden calf and had all Israel worship it. But he was not cast away for his sins. And neither will you be, child of God, regardless of how many they may be and how great they may be. If God has commenced his work in your heart, sin will never be your road. Although you fear it and you think it will be, Christ, who died on the cross for sinners, will triumph in your heart over sin and reveal his love and his mercy to your soul in due time. You may say, oh, I wish that would happen today. I do too. I wish you would experience the forgiveness of your sins, everyone who's seeking this blessing. And now we find in the next chapter that Israel is also traveling again. And she came to a certain place, and these people came out to make war against the Israelites. And they took a vow and said that if God would help them, then they would destroy these people, and they did. This was at Hormah. And right after this, after God had helped them so wonderfully and so greatly, we find them again going along the coast of the Red Sea. And these people, they are discouraged because of the way. The way maybe was rough. The way maybe was dirty. It was a way which they hadn't planned that they should go. They probably were tired, because if they had went through the land of Edom on the highway, it would have been much better. But now they had to circle Edom, and this way was rough, and they were very discouraged. And they again began to murmur and to complain to Moses and Aaron. And they said unto them, why have ye brought us up out of the land of Egypt? Here we are again, without any water, without any bread to eat, and the only thing that we have is this light bread. We loaf it. Oh, my hearers, these people were very discouraged, very cast down because of the way. Does this happen to God's people? We have just been speaking about that at the commencement of our lesson. Oh, how discouraged they become sometimes. You ever become discouraged? Maybe you do naturally. Maybe things go against you. Maybe things aren't so good in the course of providence. Maybe you have trouble in the family. Maybe you have afflictions, sicknesses, and various trials come upon you and you become discouraged. But oh, when God's children become discouraged, they are discouraged because of what? Why, because of their sins, because of their unbelief, because of their not having communion and fellowship with God. Oh, they're so cast down at times because of the way that they have to go. Oh, sometimes the way becomes very rough. God takes away somebody that's near and dear to you. He leaves you alone. Sometimes God visits your body. He lays you low with affliction. And oh, then the way becomes very rough. And then God hides his face from you. And oh, how discouraged you become. You ever discouraged in this way? Oh, my hearers. And then we find these Israelites, what? They're murmuring. They're complaining. And they didn't have any bread to eat. Why, my goodness. God had performed a miracle for them. He gave them water to drink out of the rock, and he rained bread down from heaven for them every day. They lived out of the hand of God, and still they weren't satisfied. They loathed this light bread. Does that happen too spiritually? Oh, many people who for year after year under the means of grace, it becomes just a story to them. And they begin to loath it. Oh, let us never loathe it. Let us never put a contempt on the word of God. Believe me, it's bread. It's good bread. Oh, it's bread that nourishes poor, guilty, lost, condemned sinners. Oh, have you ever had anything of it? Has the word of God ever entered into your heart? Has it been sweet to you? Have you eaten it? Have you enjoyed it? Have you believed it? Oh, never say that our soul loatheth this light bread. Oh, you would say, how is it possible that a soul could say such things?